The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
So what are the forces that are marshaled against the church today? Number one, the culture of death. Number two, the culture of confusion. And number three, the culture of sexual permissiveness and perversions.
Jesus, when he told Peter and the rest of the apostles about building his church, declared that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Since Christ is the master builder, the head of the church, we, the church, have within us someone who is powerful enough to conquer the church's enemy. In fact, the master builder was the one who had already defeated the ultimate enemy, that is death. Hello, my name is Mark, and I'm your host for our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. Thanks for listening. Our sermon this week was preached at the launch of the theme of Riverside Baptist Church for the year 2019. The sermon is about how the church should march forward against the forces of darkness in the world. Yet, I think the church needs to awaken to the fact that we have already defeated the forces of darkness because Christ, the head of the church, has already defeated death and hell. I'm reminded of the verse in 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Let's listen to Pastor Christian's sermon entitled, "The Forward March of the Church," from Matthew 16.
Matthew 16, in verse 13, church, read with me, together go. "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Lord willing, Lord helping me, I'd like to preach to you a sermon entitled, "The Forward March of the Church." You may be seated. Thank you for standing. There are two fascinating facts firmly set forth by the faithful master of the church with regards to the forward march of the church. And I'm going to describe to you the forces which are marshaled against the church of God by way of a geographical and a historical backgrounds, and I will demonstrate for you how we're going to forward march against the forces which are marshaled against the church of God. Number one, the forces marshaled against the church of Christ. Read with me, verse 18, the following words: "And the gates of hell." The gates of hell. These are the forces marshaled against the church of God. Well, what are the gates of hell? The gates of hell are the forces of this world, which are against, in every way, the truth, the church of Christ, which is the pillar and ground of truth. The coasts of Caesarea Philippi boast of its large springs which feed the Jordan River. In fact, it is the location of one of the largest springs which brings lush and richness to the river and thus to the entire land of Israel. Its abundant water supplies attracted not only people, but it attracted religious worships as well. Most famous in the geographical setting is a large cave which gushes out a spring of water. It is believed to be where the god Pan, P-A-N, resided. And so, the religious people threw their sacrifices into the cave. By the way, they called it a bottomless pit as well. They would throw their sacrifices into this cave as a form of worship to the god Pan, P-A-N. In mythology, Pan was a half-man and half-goat. He was the god of panic and confusion. You know, when you're panicking, at that time you are confused. And often, Pan is depicted as one playing with a flute. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, there came a resurgence of Pan in children's literature by the character named Peter Pan, the piper at the gates of dawn. Of course, the Peter Pan we know today is charming, nice, attractive, a god of perpetual adolescence. Did you hear that? A god of perpetual adolescence, thanks to Hollywood, but no thanks for making him so. But Pan was a god of confusion. He was a half man, half goat. He was a god by the use of his enticing music caused his subject to be under the spell of forgetfulness. And his goatish figure identifies with what angelic being? The character of Satan. As that was the backdrop against which Jesus, the faithful master of the church, they were probably looking at this cave when Jesus told them this revelation. As that was the backdrop against which Jesus, the faithful master of the church, revealed his promise of building his church, it is the same backdrop we have for the forces which are against the church today. Are you with me? Let me break it down for you. This was the backdrop, the background from where Christ revealed his promise about building the church. And today, this is still the background where we march forward with the church of Christ. Let me break it down for you in three answers. What is the forces, or what are the forces that are marshaled against the church today? Number one, the culture of death. Number two, the culture of confusion. And number three, the culture of sexual permissiveness and perversions. The words "the gates of hell" means the gates of death. The Greek word of hell is Hades, which means the abode of the dead. So, it represents the very idea of the ultimate enemy of life. What is the ultimate enemy of life? It is that which snuffs out life and the purpose of living. You will recall, however, that death is the final enemy of Christ, and he has conquered it. Is there a force like this in our age today? Sure there is. We live in a culture of death. The culture of death is alive, ironically speaking, alive and well these days. How do you say that, Pastor Christian? Abortion is on the rise. In fact, just recently, laws were enacted in our land to favor more abortions and infanticide. One celebrity said, "I was born at 11:59 p.m. If at midnight my parents had decided to abort me, it would now have been legal to snuff the life out of me." Euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide are on the rise. Suicide in the military, as well as the law enforcement and the rest of our highly technological advanced society, is on the rise. Now, I don't need to convince you that we live in a culture of death. Talk about a horrendous and dark culture of death that we are in. Many are fascinated with, to the point of obsession, a style of life which embraces the death culture. This shows up in what people put on their face and body, what they wear, what video games they play, and television programs they watch. We live in a culture of death, which is a background for the forces of this world, which are marshaled against the church of God. Secondly, and this is, I take this as an application of the phrase "gates of hell." Gates, is that singular or plural? Plural. So it's not just one gate. There are many gates. We talked about the gate of death. I'm going to talk to you about the gate of confusion. We live in an age of confusion. Confusion, I believe, is another gate of hell. What does the record of Scripture say? God is the author. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. And where will Satan reside? Where will Satan reside? In hell and the lake of fire. There are people today in this culture of confusion who change their biological sex because they feel they are not of the opposite of what anatomy they have, or because they feel they are of the opposite of what anatomy they have. There are even some parents today who prefer not to put any gender identification on their children's birth certificates because they don't want to force their children to their biological identity. Susie may want to come back to first grade next year as Harry. I don't need to convince you that we live in a culture of confusion, do I? This is the backdrop against the church, against the forward march of the church. Thirdly, another force that I see that is vehemently opposing the church is the culture of sexual permissiveness and perversion. When I said that statement, what came to your mind? Don't tell me. Need I convince you that this is a force to be reckoned with if we are to remain a church of Jesus Christ? Turn to Romans with me. Romans 1. The Apostle Paul summarized it in this manner. And all I'm telling you really is the Word of God. I'm not putting my spin on it. I'm not putting my opinions into it. I'm not even giving you a running commentary of what the Scripture says. We'll just read it. And that will be enough to convict you and convince you that we, therefore, live in a culture of sexual immorality, pervasiveness, permissiveness, and perversions. Look at Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Jump to verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What is the truth of God? It is the truth of God that He, the Creator, made them male and female. And people today want to falsify that and change all of that. That is a force to be reckoned with. Continue on. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Do I need to describe that to you? I don't think so. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Jump down to verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You see, all the forces marshaled against the church of Christ, the culture of death, the culture of confusion, and the culture of sexual perversions. Second point, I see in Matthew 16:18, the forward march of the church of Christ. In these words, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why do you say forward march? Not because I'm a captain in the army, but because the gates are usually stationary. They don't move. So Jesus must have meant that the one doing the moving is the church of God. That's why forward march. Church, forward march. O church, arise. Put your armor on, the panoply of God, and forward march. Now, what are we going to forward march with is the question this morning. We're going to forward march with these three elements. Number one, we're going to bring with us life. Life and inject it into the culture of death. What does the Apostle Paul say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? The power of God unto the deliverance of the souls from death. It is the power of God unto salvation. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then we march forward with the great megaphone of clarity as against the confusion of this world. And thirdly, we march forward with the true love as against the perversions of sex. This love can only be given by Christ, and without which we are like tinkling cymbals. Love, genuine love, or charity, as the Bible calls it, is that which should undergird everything that we do in this church. And that is what we will bring with us in this forward march of the church. Every single item in our calendar is designed for us, the Church of Christ, to march forward. We bring life to the culture of death. When we go out on our evangelistic outreach as a church together, this is what we're proclaiming. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Folks, we march forward with the good news of life and inject it into the culture of death. The Apostle John said this: He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? Then you have life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, to give life, to give eternal life. John concludes with these words, that Jesus Christ is the true life, the Son of God, which is eternal life. When the children come together for Awanas, are taught the truth. When the teenagers go to youth camp and are taught the truth. When the college and career class joins the home builders class or the regular Sunday school class to be taught the truth. when the preacher opens up the Bible and clearly proclaims the truth, when the people stand up to read aloud the scriptures, which are the truth, when every single soul blurts out the true praises of God in song, we bring clarity to the culture of confusion. Clarity is what we bring with us as we proclaim the truth. When we come together to do our spring cleaning to show love for the church building and to show love and support to our trustees, when we come together to observe the Lord's table in loving commemoration of what Jesus had done for us on the cross of Calvary and collect funds so that the deacons can be empowered to lovingly perform their duties to the basic needs of one another, to the basic needs of the flock. When the ladies and girls come to do luncheon, to show love to one another and even to a missionary wife on a far and hard mission field. When the men come together in a van on the way to the men's retreat, showing camaraderie and fellowship. When we come together for prayer on Wednesday night to bring our petitions unto the Lord for our loved ones. What are we doing? We're bringing genuine charity with us as we march forward with the cause of Christ, and thus infusing into this culture of false love the true love of Jesus Christ and His church. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. We, the church of God, bring life. We march forward with clarity. We undergird all this with true love, with genuine charity. The faithful master of the church has given us our marching orders. We, the church of Christ, march forward. Church, will you march forward with me?
Yes, Pastor Christian, we will march with you. Well, friends, I hope and pray that you will also march forward with us, endure to the end of time. Our motto, as Pastor Christian says, are eternity, clarity, charity. We are cultivating a culture of eternity awareness because life is short and eternity is long. What you decide today will affect where you spend eternity. About clarity and charity, we as a church want to make sure that everything we do and say is undergirded with the love of God and love for others. My friends, thanks for listening to our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. For times and services and more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com. My name is Mark, and I hope to see you again next time on our commuter CD from RBC.